Hi, my name is Amy Reinicke, and I'm here to help you learn to love your body well. Love Your Body Well is a podcast designed to encourage women to find the beauty in caring for their bodies without obsession, guilt, and shame. We are ditching the perfection mindset and embracing the season of life you are in, all while figuring out what works best for you on your wellness journey. Join me for weekly episodes as we navigate this journey together, and let's start a revolution of women who are focused on wellness while also being compassionate and kind to their bodies. Are you ready to love your body well? So we are a couple weeks into the new year, and I know that many of you probably set a goal to be better at meal planning. And meal planning is something that when we finally do it, it can make a huge impact on our lives and just make it easier. But I know it's something that a lot of us really struggle with, actually figuring out what works best for us. And so to talk about this, I brought on Ann Kent today, who is going to dive into how she makes mealtime easier for busy families. And this is with a non-diet approach, which I really, really like. So Ann Kent is a registered dietitian, and she owns Peas and Hoppiness, and she makes mealtime easier for busy families with her signature meal planning app, the Peas and Hoppy Meal Guides. Welcome to the Love Your Body Well podcast, Ann.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Meal planning is a hot topic, especially I feel like around the new year, and this episode is airing in January of a brand new year. And I know that a lot of people have probably set this goal for themselves this year. And maybe some people have already like kind of fallen off the bandwagon with that because it feels kind of like this huge thing that they need to do. And it needs to look a certain way. And we kind of talked before hitting record that we want to help people see just a different side of things. And maybe it doesn't need to look perfect. So Ann, you're a mom too. And so I know that this is something that you've had to incorporate into your own life. And I'd love to hear just a little bit about your story and about how you got to be a little better with meal planning.
That's a great question. I remember, you know, when I first became a dietitian and was like living on my own, meal planning was something I did like almost as a hobby. It was so fun to go explore recipes where I would spend an hour and a half at the grocery store. And it was like just really fun. And then fast forward to when I married my husband, he has a son. And so I immediately gained another member of the family who I was in charge of feeding. And then a couple of years ago, I had my son. I have a toddler now. And so my meal planning went from for funsies to absolutely a necessity.
Yeah.
I don't meal plan every week. I wish I could say I do, but you know, honestly, life happens to me too. And there are weeks that it doesn't get done. And every time I don't meal plan in the middle of the week, I'm like, boy, I wish I had done this. This sure makes my life a lot easier. So that's sort of my personal journey to figuring out that this is absolutely something that helps me.
Yeah. And I think that our own personal stories are really important in that. You brought up a good point there. Like different seasons of our lives, meal planning tends to be easier than others. And with that also, your meal planning structure looks a little bit different, I think, too, depending on the season of life that you're in.
I agree. Yeah. Meal planning, it needs to look different. And I was reflecting on what you were just saying about the new year. We're getting a ton of messages right now about what you should eat or what you shouldn't eat and how to cleanse from the sweets and whatever. Like there's just a lot of nutrition noise right now. And I have to say, I think the number one reason why meal plans, quote unquote, don't work for people is because everybody is trying to fit their life around a meal plan. When in reality, what you need to do is fit your meal plan around your life. Because there are very few people in the world who have the time, the resources, the energy to drop everything and focus on food and nutrition. The reality is that you are still a parent. You are still working. You still have a social life. You still have a marriage that you're trying to keep afloat. Like you are doing all these other things. And so I think it is incredibly unrealistic to think that you can just drop all of these things and eat eggs for breakfast and this salad with quinoa for lunch that you had to prep the night before and then come home and cook an eggplant parmesan or whatever that meal plan is telling you to do. So I just want people to hear that if a meal plan has not worked for you in the past, it is not you. It is the meal plan. You should not have to change your whole life to fit into someone else's box of what they think you should be eating. Mm-hmm.
I love just the grace that comes with what you just said. And that I think part of this journey in figuring out, like, how can I make meals easier? Because The fact of the matter is we have to eat. Like, this is a non-negotiable. This is how we live. This is how we survive. We have to eat. But what we don't have to have is we don't have to have the stress around food. I think that meal plans can come with stress on either side. You can feel stressed if you don't have a plan for what you're making. And so then every night at 5 o'clock, you're kind of freaking out because you don't know what you're going to serve your family, or you just end up running through a drive-thru that then costs you triple the amount that it would have if you had just had the groceries in your house.
Or you have to spend 2 hours in the kitchen prepping a bunch of vegetables that eventually go bad in your fridge, and you have all these leftovers that nobody likes, or halfway through the recipe, it turns out that like, you're like, wait, what, angel hair pasta? Like, I don't have that specific thing. Like, and now I can't make this recipe, or I'm sending my husband to the store. Like, you know, there are so many valid reasons why meal planning does not work. So I'm really trying to take out the guesswork and take out all of those very real issues that we have and just simplify it. Because I think you nailed it when you said like, we have to eat, and you have to spend time thinking about what you're going to eat. So yes. What I find with meal planning is that instead of spending all of this energy throughout the week with that 5 o'clock dinner time panic, I have a name for it. When you're like, oh no, oh my gosh, what are we going to eat? Now I have to like come up with a recipe, go to the grocery store. If you're not meal planning, you end up actually spending more time thinking about meal planning. It's just that it happens randomly throughout your week. And so it really adds to your mental load when, if you were just a little bit more intentional about it and actually sat down and thought through it, you're actually going to save yourself a lot of time in the long run.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a skill to be learned. And like I just said, it's grace along the way to kind of learn what works best for you. But Anne, today you're going to share with us your 3-step process with how to make a meal plan for a busy schedule. And whether you're a mom listening to this, whether you're single, I think that we can probably agree that most of us just do feel busy. And maybe in the new year, you're trying to feel less busy. And I commend you for that. And I hope that we can find some more white space in our calendars. But for the sake of most people, I think we do just have busy schedules, and we have to learn how to like take better care of our bodies in the time that we do have. So can you tell us a little bit more about your 3-step process?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. We are all busy. So it doesn't matter if you have a family or not. Everybody, I recommend on my template, which I do recommend to download this and to follow through if you really do want to practice making a meal plan. So I have a meal planning template, and along the top, there is a line for you to write down your events for the week. So that is my first step. Literally get your Google Calendar out, get your planner out, find your kids' soccer schedules, like whatever it is, write down everything that you have going on. Because whether you think you are or not, there are going to be days this week when you have more people to feed because someone is home or someone has a friend over, or there's going to be days when you're not at home that you don't need to cook. So this is the key to personalizing your meal plan. And this is the key to really making it work, is to figure out what's going on in your life. And then step 1B is to figure out how many people you're feeding each day. And that's the next line on my meal planning template. So if you have a late work meeting one night, maybe only your spouse and kids are going to be eating at home. And so figure out how many people you're feeding. This is a step that I do recommend, even if you don't have children. I've worked with a lot of single people or people like in couples who think that like things stay the same, but they actually don't. You still have social lives. You still, you know, you have the hour with the office on Thursday. And so that is going to play into your meal plan. You probably don't need to cook that night. So that's step 1. Get stuff on your calendar, get it on your actual meal planning template. And the other reason why I recommend to print out the meal planning template and to fill it out is because once you're done with it, you can put it on the fridge and everybody can see it, including you. And this is part of reducing your mental load during the week, that you don't have to continue asking yourself the question of like, wait a second, what meal did I plan? You can just look at the list. So very helpful. Whatever you can do to reduce that mental load is a big deal.
I love that you keep talking about mental load before you go to step 2. I just want to recognize that the mental load of running a household and keeping everyone afloat is a real thing. That could be a completely different podcast. But if you feel that weight and that burden of like, I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels all the time, taking care of everybody else, we hear you, we feel you. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have this episode go live, especially in January, because we all feel that. We feel that overwhelm. And I want to help give you some tools like Anne's process for this of making this simpler to where you can find a little less mental load on a daily basis. It doesn't mean that it's going to completely eliminate the load of it, of having to prep, you know, meals for your family or for yourself or for you and your spouse or partner. But I just hope that it does help lighten that load a little bit.
I agree. Yeah. And it is definitely like, it would be nice if this just didn't exist or if we could just totally offload it. And, you know, there are some other tools out there for helping solve the problem. Like you could sign up for HelloFresh or you can sign up for, you know, like pre-made meals or whatever. Yeah. But the reality is, like you said at the beginning, like we all do still have to eat. And especially if you are in charge of caring for other people and making sure that they also eat, it's just part of our lives.
It is. It is.
So step two, bringing us into what we're going to eat. This is where you're going to think about, based on your events, and now that you have everything written out and know who's going to be at home and who you need to feed, now you're going to think about when and what you want to cook. And there's a couple of things in this. First of all, I really recommend that you do not cook every single day of the week. There's very rarely a need for someone to cook every single day, and that becomes incredibly overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So my formula for deciding how often you should cook is to think about right now, if your goal is to start cooking at home more often, here is your formula. So think about how often you cook at home right now. And if that number is, you know, you feel like it's too low, like let's say you're cooking at home, honestly, like maybe once a week or twice a week right now, and you're going out the rest of the time, somehow you're eating, but you'd like to cook more often. Okay. Two times a week, you need to add one to that number. So now your goal is to cook at home three times per week. And you are not allowed to put anything else on your calendar. Don't do it. I know you want to. I know you want to like fill all the boxes. And it is so tempting to do that. And it's just overwhelming because like I said, we don't have the luxury, most of us, to quit our jobs and to stop talking to our families. We still have to do all those other things. So if you are cooking two or three times a week, there are opportunities for you to make leftovers. There are some other easy, like grab and go kind of like charcuterie board night things that you can do to still eat at home and still have a healthy balance without the pressure of making a meal. And I also really like to remind people that even if your goal is just cooking one more time a week or just cooking once a week, even if you're new to this, if you're new to cooking, that's plenty. That's going to take you a lot of time to think about and figure out. But over the course of the year, if you cook one new recipe each week, you now have a repertoire of 50 meals. Mm-hmm. Like you are confident in cooking 50 different things. Mm-hmm. So small changes really do add up. We just have to give ourselves some grace and patience to do all the other things in our life too.
Yes. Okay. So let's go a little bit more in depth in regards to figuring out what somebody's going to put on their meal plan. So what are some suggestions that you have for people to find those recipes and not get bored, but also not feel like they're spinning their wheels and having to come up with new things all the time?
Yes, the what to cook is a huge question. And it's actually the reason why I created my meal planning app is to help answer this question. But I will say that you don't have to reinvent the entire world when you are creating your meal plan. You could take last week's menu and do it this week again if you want to. There's nothing wrong with eating pretty much the same five meals over and over. Like that is okay if that works for you and your family. So if you are tired of that, if you are getting bored with that, then I would again think back to like the one new thing a week. So you don't have to come up with five new ideas. You can like have your staple meals and then gradually add in another recipe every week and get some things in your repertoire. Like I said, that is why I created the meal planning app. I send a menu every week. And so I give you four cooked meal ideas so that, you know, I'm kind of trying to answer that question for you because most of us do not have time to spend on Pinterest. We like to, or I mean, like sometimes we do spend it on Pinterest, but then we don't ever like go back and look at it. Yeah. So I have plenty of cookbooks in my cabinet that I honestly have not looked at in years.
They make really great decorations.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're so pretty.
I'm saying that because that's what I have in my kitchen.
Yeah. But this is literally my job. I'm literally a meal planning dietitian. And I too find it overwhelming, the onslaught of recipes on the internet. So that is why I think, you know, sometimes a meal planning service can be helpful because it can offer you some variety without so much of the overwhelm. Instead of having the entire interwebs of recipes. You can have 4 curated recipes that are balanced and tasty, and I've tested the recipes so that you don't have to wonder. But there's nothing wrong with you finding those yourself.
Right. I think that you could do either or. And I think that in different seasons of your life, it's going to look different. And I think that that's what we have to normalize, is that mm-hmm. your meal planning doesn't, and it won't, look the same each and every week. Sometimes it's just not going to go the way that we have planned. And that's okay. It's giving ourselves some grace for that, to be flexible and to not be so rigid.
Yes. Yeah. And I love having staples. And especially when thinking mm-hmm. about like breakfast and lunch, I think those are some areas where I really encourage you to not try and make a new frittata every morning. Like just do peanut butter toast. It's fine. You know, you're getting a great carb and a great protein, and it's going to last you to lunch. Like, you probably already know the things that work for you and maybe the things that don't. So when I talk about balance, and especially, you know, how do you balance your meals nutritionally without getting sucked into diet culture? The biggest thing that I encourage is to make sure that your plate looks balanced, and not just to like your plate every single meal, but thinking about the course of your day. Do I have some protein? Do I have some quality carbs? Do I have some fruits and vegetables? Am I including plants? So I try to focus a little bit more holistically on the balance rather than, you know, getting too in the weeds of like, how many grams of sugar have I had today? Because, you know, it can both cause hyperfixation. It can be so overwhelming. You have a limited capacity. We only have 24 hours. If you're spending an hour of them each day counting your grams of whatever, that can really take away from the rest of your quality of life. So balance over perfection.
I don't know about you, but meal planning doesn't always come easy to me. And it's one of the main things that can contribute to stress reduction around meals throughout the week. Doing it on your own can feel overwhelming. I totally get it. That's where the Peas and Hoppy Meal Planning membership comes in. With over 800 dietitian approved recipes that can be customized to your dietary needs, this is the solution we've been waiting for. Every week, you'll get a pre-planned seasonal menu with 10 fresh meal ideas. It also creates your grocery list, which is a huge time saver. Not only are you supported with your meals, but also with the Peas and Hoppiness community that was founded by registered dietitian Ann Kent, who is an amazing resource. I am so excited to offer you a 2-week free trial to join this amazing community and meal plan service. All you need to do is click the link in the show notes, and I promise that you won't regret simplifying your weekly meals. I think that's a really good point to make, because I think that we can, for anybody who's been in diet culture, that kind of obsession with, am I getting the right amount of things, can feel really overwhelming. And we actually spend more time doing that than I think we realize. And that's just an important thing to note, that if you can come at this in a more gentle way and look at it. And I love that you said, Anne, that you look at it through the day instead of just each meal. I think that that can be a little bit more forgiving as well. You know, maybe nighttime comes around and you're like, I should probably add another vegetable onto my plate tonight. You know, then that can be a little bit more fluid, to where you're not beating yourself up if your meal didn't look exactly perfect. Because once again, that goes back to the mental load that we've talked about. And that mental load is so heavy to carry with us, because we're all just trying to do the best that we can. And I think often when we think about meal planning, we feel like it has to look like this certain way. Like, I need to go to the grocery store on Sunday, and I need to come home, and I need to spend 3 hours prepping. Now, if that works for you, that's great. But like, we have practices on Sundays. That doesn't work for me. We go to church in the morning. We have practices on Sundays. We are always going to be watching football on, like, this time of year. We're always going to make time to watch football on Sundays. That's important to us and something that we like to do as a family. And so I don't want to spend an hour or two at the grocery store and then like multiple hours meal planning. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't do it then. I think that, I don't know why Sunday meal plans got to be like a thing. Whatever happened to a good old Tuesday? Like,
I agree. Yes. Yes. I personally am not a meal prepper. And so like, in the world of meal planning, I think that we do talk a lot about like prep. And I mean, there are ways that you can like incorporate some prep ahead stuff.
Yeah.
To make the rest of your week easier. But one of my tricks for when you're deciding when to cook or like what to cook on which days is to think about, not just think about how much time you have on that day, but to also think about how much energy you have. So my example is, like Mondays and Tuesdays are often are actually schedule going out to eat. This is a pro tip of meal planning. Schedule your plan to have takeout or to go out to eat and have at least a couple of days a week. When you do that, you can flex those days if you need to. So if it turns out that like, hey, Monday, I plan to go out to eat because I'm usually like, you know, Mondays are my busy work day and I get home and I just am tired. I don't want to cook. So plan takeout. If magically I do have time to cook or do have energy, I can always flip-flop and grab a recipe and then we get like bonus. Like I get to go out later in the week. But so often I'm like, present Anne is thanking past Anne who planned ahead and scheduled in takeout because I needed the break. So think about what days you have the energy to cook and think about the days that you know that you just are going to need a break. That is okay. You are human and you deserve that.
I love that you're talking about planning for that. Like you're not a failure if you decide to go do takeout. That is feeding your family as well. Like think about where you can get, you know, the most bang for your buck in regards to nutrition and finances, because going out to eat multiple times a week, like that can be draining financially. So think about what works best for you and your family. But I think it's also unrealistic to say, we are not going to go out to eat at all this month.
Right.
I think that coming at this very holistically, knowing it is likely that you are going to eat out at some point in a month, it is likely that you're going to need help in that regard. It's just going to be quicker or easier. You're not like, quote unquote, bad for having to do that. And you're not failing at meal planning if you have to do that too. I love that you're telling them to incorporate that, to have that be part of your meal plan. And I think that's just a really healthy way of thinking about things because food is meant to be enjoyed. And
I just want to say that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that we tell ourselves, I don't know, sometimes we just have this like very, I mean, all the time we have this very complicated like a relationship with food, it feels like. But it really, at the end of the day, we are meant to enjoy it. And by trying new recipes, by scheduling in like a restaurant that you and your family really enjoy, that is how we stay excited about meal planning.
I agree. When I talk with my one-on-one clients about nutrition, I like to remind them that joy is a nutrient. Like that should be included. So if your menu is, you know, perfect type, again, I'm using air quotes, perfect in terms of protein, carbs, fat, vitamins, minerals, but is lacking in joy, it's not really balanced.
Mm-hmm. I love that you say joy is a nutrient.
It's a helpful reminder, right? Like,
it is.
You know, that this is not just like, it's actually important to include that. It's not just like a nice to have, it's like a necessity. And if you don't have it, it's not going to go well.
Right. We were designed to enjoy our food. And so you should be enjoying your food.
Yes. And I mean, even from like a dietitian standpoint and thinking about like, what are the nutrients? If you look across the world at cultures who eat, you know, there's all of these paradoxes. People are probably most like commonly known as like the French paradox. That's probably one of the things that comes to mind where, you know, we're eating tons of saturated fat and tons of cheese and all of they're drinking wine, but they're healthier. And like, how is that possible? And so that's the social connectedness that the French have, the French culture, that nobody is eating fast food in their car. And it's not just that, I don't mean to be singling out fast food. You can actually eat healthy fast food. Like, let's say you're eating a salad in the car. That might be actually less nutritious than you enjoying pizza with your family, because pizza with your family means that you are getting all these really happy hormones going on when you are enjoying this meal. So I'm not saying joy is a nutrient to be trite. I think it's incredibly important to remember that we don't eat in a vacuum. We eat as part of lots of different things. And those things really matter, not just to our mental health, but to our physical health as well.
I think that's such an important component. And I think it's one that is often not talked about because it's just about good and bad food. And a lot of people listening have had a complicated relationship with food and they're trying to find themselves a healthier balance with that. And so I think just making sure that you understand, like Anna said, like joy is a nutrient and that we are meant to enjoy it is an important component to make sure, like when you're sitting down and going through this meal plan template that she's going to provide for you, that you are scheduling in joy too with this. And like, what are my kids or what am I going to be really excited about eating this week? Like what meal am I really looking forward to? Like it's actually a good thing to look forward to the meals that you're having. Like we should love our food, you know?
Yes.
I often say to my kids, not every meal has to be your favorite because nobody has time for that.
Right.
But like, we should have a couple of meals that we are like, I'm so excited to eat this meal. Like, this meal is really good. And then there's other meals that are like, this is just going to nourish my body today. This is quick and easy. And this is like the best that I can do today.
Yeah. I love that you said that too, because I do think that as an intuitive eating counselor and like coming from that perspective, satisfaction is a very important part of eating. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think that almost like adds extra stress. Like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I've struggled with that personally in the past, that like, I just need to get like a Clif Bar in. I just need like a granola bar. Yeah. Do I love it? No. But if I don't eat this, then I'm like not going to be able to function. Right. So remembering that food nourishes us in all of these different ways, and making sure that we're acknowledging all of these different ways and, mm-hmm. you know, not making this a morality about like, did you eat your vegetables or not? But remembering that you're not a good or bad person if you eat vegetables. It's more about what is that food doing for you at what time?
Mm-hmm. I love that very much.
Step three is to make your grocery list, which, you know, maybe sounds obvious, but the way to do this is take all those recipes that you just figured out in step two, put all those ingredients down. I usually recommend to separate these by section of the grocery store because it makes your life so much easier when you're in the grocery store. And then make sure to add your staples. So whatever you eat as a family week after week, for our family, it's like yogurt and bananas. You know, mm-hmm. like make sure that your staples are on your list and follow your list when you go to the grocery store. If it's hard for you to follow your list, order it online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay to use your tools. If you like going to the grocery store, great. If you hate it, great. There are options for you.
I love that we're acknowledging that because everybody works differently. For some people, the convenience of having it delivered on your doorstep using a service like Instacart or something like that is a total game changer. And for other people, they like the process of going to the grocery store. Here is my encouragement here with this. No matter which boat you're in, if you hate what you're doing, like if you hate going to the grocery store, you cannot stand it. It is something that you loathe each and every week. And there is a delivery option or a pickup option in your area. I want you to just step out of your comfort zone for 1 minute and I want you to try something different. It might be the shift that you need to get more excited about preparing meals for yourself throughout the week. Because I think that we once again put ourselves in this box like, oh, it has to look this specific way. And it doesn't need to look a specific way. It just has to work well for you. And if it's not working well for you, if you're not able to do it and just feeding yourself or your family or one or the other is a constant stress in your life, I hope that today you took some like tangible knowledge from Anne and some encouragement that it doesn't need to be as hard as we're making it. And so how can you simplify this? And you have a template that you've shared, and I'm going to share that in the show notes too, so everybody can get that. Something else I don't know, as you were talking, I just had an idea. It sounds like something that you could probably laminate as well and reuse it mm-hmm. week after week. So,
oh, that's brilliant. You should totally do that. Yeah, I need to do that. Why haven't I thought about that? That's brilliant.
You know why I think about it? Because I have printer issues. My printer is just kind of a problem child in our house. And some days it works and some days it doesn't. So when you said that, I was like, oh, you could easily laminate that, get a dry erase marker and pop that. You could even buy some magnets and pop it on the fridge. No mom hates any question more than what's for dinner and what time is dinner going to be made. Like,
what is this point? Yeah, it's awesome. I do that. I'm like, hi, 14-year-old stepson. Yes. You can read, right? There's your answer.
Yes. Yes. And it's there. And it'll be one of those things tonight, you know, whatever. So I would love for you to share how people can connect with you, Anne, so they can continue learning more about this. Because I know that this is a goal that likely a lot of people are having come January. So how can they connect with you?
There are lots of different ways. First of all, I'm also hosting a meal planning workshop. So if you would like to dive into this more, the workshop is interactive. It's an hour long. And during that hour, you actually make your meal plan for the week. So we pause and you actually think through. I send you a week's worth of recipes so that, you know, we just take that off the table just to figure out the process. And then later we can talk about how to do that ongoing. So you're welcome to join. You can go to my website, peasandhappiness.com. And that's where you can register for the workshop. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at peasandhappiness. I share a lot of like little tips and tricks and meal planning stuff and just, you know, none of us has time to do all of this. And so I honestly, I love Instagram and the little short amounts of information because I think you can learn a lot over the course of time. So I would love for you to follow me there.
Yes. Thank you so much, Anne. This has been a really, I think, a really thoughtful approach with meal planning. And hopefully people have left with lots of different takeaways that they can put into practice and start to enjoy this process because it's something that we all have to do. So thanks for sharing this with my community today.
Thank you for having me. This has been so fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Love Your Body Well podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review and let me know what resonated with you the most. This helps more people connect to the show and allows me to continue encouraging women just like you. I love when you share episodes that impacted you on social media or with your friends and family. It truly helps spread the word of compassion and kindness that all women need more of. I invite you to continue the conversation with me on my blog, loveyourbodywell.net, or on Instagram at loveyourbodywell. Thank you for being here today. I know you have a lot of podcasts to choose from, and I'm honored that you listen to mine. This podcast is for informational purposes only and not intended to provide a diagnosis or replace medical care.